So frankly, I see no need to stop the conversation we were having before the light went on.
Blah.
Yeah, we're talking about the what do you call that? The inception noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is it? I made so much fun of that noise, especially when somebody finally made the inception button. Where you could go to it with your computer and just, press it, and yeah. Blah. And so I would use it whenever I was mildly peeved about something. Like, Becky, you ate all the lemon bars!
Blah!
Yeah, it was great. This is Ask an Atheist with me, Sam Mulvey, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Toll-free nationwide, that's our voicemail number, because we're not quite live yet. I am working on it. Joining me today is Dave. How are you?
Hello, hello, hello.
And for the second week in a row, Dan. How are you, Dan?
I'm so tired.
Oh, you shut up now.
He won't let me leave the studio. Send help.
I have been doing nothing but studio work the whole weekend. Shut up! Shut up! Everybody shut up! yeah, Becky's not on because we realized that she hadn't not been on since November and probably needed a break.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah,
Becky has been the trooper.
Yeah, absolutely. and yeah, she needed a break, and because she was supposed to be hosting today.
Yeah,
she's like, oh my god, and so she's like, I'm like, no, it's gonna be great. You're gonna be wonderful at hosting, because she totally is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of catch this glint, and I go. Oh, crap, you've been on, yeah, no, oh, crap, you've been on every episode since November. You know what, I'll host today, you take the day off.
In a world where the ultimate trooper needs a day off.
Oh.
Nobody.
So we got a show here, right?
Yeah. And remember, what was his name? That wasn't Donald Pleasant, no.
What, no, I'm willing to talk about Donald Pleasant all day, if you like.
In a world guy.
Oh, Don.
Don something.
Guy.
He died, what, about 10 years ago?
Yeah, about that.
And the thing is, I think it's hilarious that people still make In a World jokes because they haven't used that in trailers. Like, they tried for a month after he died with someone else, and it just did not work.
No, they still hire people with his voice quality. I mean, it's not that guy.
Well, no,
they've got the guy that does honest trailers.
Yeah. Wow.
He does that voice amazingly.
That's like in the Star Wars video games, they hire Chad Vader to do Darth Vader because he does such a good job and so much cheaper than James Earl Jones.
That's amazing. I did not know that.
Right. So Chad Vader is now more Darth Vader.
Actually Darth Vader. Like, yeah. The Force Awakens, or not The Force Awakens, that's the actual movie. No, The Force Unleashed was all Chad Vader, and the new one, Star Wars Battlefront, is Chad Vader.
That's amazing.
That will add so much to my enjoyment of Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah.
Next time you see him, you just think, Chad's got a date, I've got a date.
Actually, when he was on, I think it was the Riff Tracks for A New Hope, it's amazing.
Is it?
They do one or two Riff Tracks with Chad Vader on it.
Nice.
And he's like, yeah. And sand sucks, so you put that on your t-shirts. It's an amazing, Riff Tracks is amazing, give them money. So we have like, I think we got a show somewhere around here.
A
right?
Show?
Do we have one in us? I don't know.
Okay.
Well, let's start out with something that's pretty easy to hit, like a pinata. This comes from the far corner of the obtuse triangle, which is a bill submitted to the Florida legislature would ban all abortions in the state. House Bill 865 would make it a felony to perform an abortion and would carry a sentence of up to 30 years. Representative Charles Van Zandt has submitted a similar legislation 7 times before. But this is the first one of his bills that has passed through committee.
Blah.
Where they just, blah. Okay, you get it. Fine. Go away. The bill uses religious language, saying all human life comes from the Creator and has inherent value that can't be quantified by man. If passed, the law would likely be challenged under the Supreme Court's Roe versus Wade ruling.
Think we could find anybody who might be willing to bring that lawsuit? Like, think we could just find one person in Florida?
Anyone?
Bueller?
No, that guy's an asshole. No. Oh, yeah, I said a naughty word, didn't I?
Hey, we're not on the air. We're not on the radio this week.
Yeah, okay, so when we're not on the air, it's PG-13 and allowed one.
Oh, now we're going to be mad because
is everybody allowed one?
No.
Dang it.
Not yet. We need to ease into the profanity.
Pumpkin salad.
What, the French toast?
Wow, that's new. No, I heard that one before.
Shut the front door.
That was on a whole commercial. It's pretty good.
Okay, I like that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So So this guy has apparently been trying to get this. Isn't Charles Van Zandt like an 80s bad guy?
It kind of sounds like it.
Yeah.
Or an auteur filmmaker.
He was like the henchman on Mask.
Okay, yeah. Like now, the cartoon or the movie with Cher?
No, as in always fighting with a laser ray.
I don't remember that guy having henchmen. Maybe a very different movie if he did.
Now, the hilarious thing about this is like, okay, so let me understand. Let me run this by you guys just to make sure. Because as I understand it, the way laws work in this country, the Constitution established that rulings by the Supreme Court outweigh any rulings by lower courts.
Hence the Supreme name.
And laws.
It's not like it's the court with sour cream in it.
seven layer Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Technically 9-layer.
But also, laws passed by the federal government have precedence over laws at the state level. So the court and the laws at the federal level say that abortion is legal. And so Florida says, "Nah,
yeah,
we don't care."
But this is what's chic in conservative politics these days, is to pass a bill that has no chance of doing anything at all.
Right.
So that they can give the appearance of dying on some sort of hill for their own for their ridiculous policies.
And then
the problem with this is that they don't actually die.
One of the funnest things in the world is looking at the voters' pamphlet for primaries, because that's where all the crazy people are, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There is a guy in our local voters' pamphlet who comes up every election. He's called
Traveler.
Good Space Guy.
Oh, Good Space. I like Good Space
Bob
Guy.
Good Space Guy.
Not so much as I want him to win, but
he's terribly entertaining.
Yeah.
But I like that he's out there.
Yeah.
When you look at his blurb in the voters' pamphlet, it says under experience, it says, Pierce County has rejected my economic plan 13 years in a row.
Yeah.
That's his experience. How is that different from Mr. Van Zandt here? And it's like, I'm going to make abortion legal. File this bill every year, 7 years straight. Never gets. Finally, got out of committee.
Have we ever figured out what his plan was? Just out of curiosity. Because, yeah, you're right. I hear that a lot, that Pierce County keeps rejecting him. And for the life of him, he can't figure out why.
He wanted to switch to a credit system?
He wants to...
He wants to give everybody a pony.
No, he wants to actually...
That's vermin.
Fund a colony on Mars, I believe, and...
Wait, with Pierce County funds?
And with Pierce County funds? Like Good Space Guys, because he's really into space exploration.
Well, no, so am I.
Yeah, but he's kind of crazy about it.
But we can't fund a colony to Thurston County. How the hell are we going to get to Mars?
Yeah.
And that's your take on local politics with Sam Mulvey. Hey.
Welcome to Almost Live.
Yeah, Jesus. You know what's funny is I knew that show before I moved here.
Can we make fun of Bellingham now?
Yes. Go.
Oh, it's too far north. It's practically Canada.
Hey-o.
That's what they say about all of us.
They got all oil refineries and stuff.
They say that about all of us.
That's true.
We're all crypto-Canadians.
The wheels on their cars are all square.
Their wheels are square. They're quarter flip top heads.
No, they syndicated for like a season on Comedy Central.
Yeah, and they took all the local jokes out as if people couldn't like apply whatever local area they had.
Because it's not like it's not like local jokes totally destroyed Mystery Science Theater.
I know, right?
Yeah. The only reason you know about half the places I lived in is because they made jokes about them on Mystery Science Theater.
I remember one specific thing that they changed, which they did not need to change at all. Do you remember the dating show Studs on Fox in the mid-90s?
I thought I hallucinated.
No.
That.
No, that actually happened.
I do not remember this.
Yes, it was like girls go out with two different guys and everything, and then like there's three girls and two guys, and they match up, and one girl gets left, and it was dumb. Anyway, Almost Live did a version called Studs from Microsoft. And it was like,
it's funny already.
The three kinds of programming nerd. You got the hippie guy, you got the calculator guy and everything. And then it's like the girl's prize at the end of the show was they got an hour head start out of the studio. And so when they changed it to Comedy Central, they changed it to Software Studs. As if someone from Chicago would not understand Studs from Microsoft.
I mean, might get the joke better than you guys do. Yeah,
The heck would you need to change that?
Right?
that's really terribly sad, but not as sad as this stupid law.
Yeah,
I mean, the problem is that this is too obvious to succeed in Florida. But as we'll be talking about later, you know, and later in the show, these laws have been passing and have been actually affecting people. I mean, like that we were talking about the Missouri law. Was it last week we're talking about the Missouri
law? Missouri law.
We've often spoke of Texas and why even with the folks in Austin, I don't really want to go there.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I mean, this one's obvious because it basically it's a bill that instead of starting with whereas, it starts with thou shalt. So it's a little obvious.
Thou shalt.
But other than that, I mean, there's not a huge difference between what's going on here and the other kind of bills we're seeing nationwide. And that's that. Now I'm bummed out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just bummed myself out. I hate doing this sometimes.
Let me bring you back up. Okay.
All right. A Kentucky judge ruled that the state cannot exclude Ken Ham's Ark Encounter Park from tax incentives because of its religious nature. Ken Ham's company, Answers in Genesis, filed a lawsuit after being rejected from an incentive plan that could be worth up to $18 million. The state previously decided the park didn't qualify for the incentives when it was brought to light that the park was discriminating in its hiring practices by requiring job applicants to submit a statement of faith. U.S. District Judge Gregory Van Tatenhove ruled that the incentives are for tourism purposes, and because the park will bring tourists regardless of religion, it doesn't give preferential treatment to religious people.
I sort of like the idea of Kentucky Judge being one of those forgotten DC villains from like the Silver comic book age.
Yeah.
Kentucky Judge.
No, but it's like, I don't even understand the thinking that could go into it. It's like, it's a park that's centered around a giant replica of Noah's Ark. That's not religious.
Well, maybe he's actually voting on the hipster segment, or people like me, who are going to go to the laps. Like, oh, yeah. People will go to that park because they think you're a jerk.
But even if you're going,
I might sneak
ironically,
booze into it.
You are still going because of the reason of religion,
right? Like I've always said, people should go to the Creationist Museum because it's incredibly entertaining. If I were known, if they're getting like federal, if they're getting state money, if they're getting public money for that, yeah, that changes my tune a little bit.
Particularly when you think about the fact that they are discriminating in their hiring, they are forcing people to sign a statement of faith.
Yeah.
So once you do that, shouldn't be able to get public money anymore.
Well, what if you sign it and then say, I'm an atheist, fire me and I will bring a lawsuit?
I think they will fire you.
And then I bring a lawsuit. Like, you and I were talking about this, where you think this is like the end of it. It's not going to go any farther than here. I think it is, because this is just one end of this thing. When you have something that's as limiting like this... Yeah, screw that noise. When you have something as limiting as this... there's so many opportunities for a lawsuit. There's so many, like, they lost the general discrimination suit. That just leaves specific discrimination. Now it's going to be a suit with a name on it. And that's going to be a much harder thing for them to fight.
Well, the problem is that they got around the discrimination by being a nonprofit organization under, it's the same laws that basically say if you're a church, you don't have to hire an atheist to be a pastor, which I think is fair. In that specific situation.
But churches don't get state money.
Churches don't get state money, and that's the problem here.
They get the opposite of state money.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where to go from here, because it's like, in my head, the judge got this wrong, because this is a nonprofit religious organization that should not get state money because they're not paying taxes.
But it can be made federal, and when it becomes an actual discrimination, when they actually discriminate against a person, and you know that's going to happen because this is Ken Ham and he's an idiot, then it becomes a personal discrimination lawsuit, and traditionally those are much harder to fight than these general discrimination lawsuits.
What evidence do you have that Kim Ham has ever been an idiot? Sorry, I couldn't even get through it with a straight face.
This is Ask an Atheist. 844 Skeptic. We're going to go to the break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, more stupid laws. Like, a lot of stupid laws. Many stupid laws are happening here.
Secular humanism is a non-theistic view of the universe built on a foundation of reason, science, and democracy. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking, and we hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of free thinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. For information on how you can be a part of the humanist activities in the Puget Sound area, become a member of the Humanists of Washington today. Visit humanistsofwashington.org.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists, with a rational worldview, informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're already 1 month into 2016. Also, it's 2016. That's a surprise. And I'm still talking about stuff like this. The Supreme Court has refused to hear an appeal of a decision overturning an extremely strict abortion law in North Dakota. The fetal heartbeat law would ban abortions as early as 6 weeks and has been called the strictest abortion law in the country. The state legislature passed the law in 2013, but was never implemented because of a legal challenge by the state's only abortion clinic. Governor Jack Dalrymple called the law a legitimate attempt to discover the boundaries of Roe v. Wade. The Supreme Court's refusal to hear the case effectively upholds the decision of a lower court calling the law unconstitutional. The Supreme Court also refused to hear a case about a similar law in Arkansas a week earlier. So wait a minute. Jack, Brother Grimm here, called the law a legitimate attempt to discover the boundaries of Roe v. Wade. So this is like law as performance art?
I think I went to that gallery opening.
Yeah, I mean... Am I going to hear "Oh Superman" when this one finally fails? Is that how this goes?
Yeah, he's coming in and he's basically saying, "I was hoping the court would yes end my my reality here. They need to accept my reality and then take it as their own."
He didn't go to his where. Yeah, it's man,
it's so uncomfortable, the idea that there are lawmakers out there who are basically, we're going to make a law just to see if it works.
Yep.
We're going to throw things at the wall and see what sticks. At how much, just how much is the court going to let us erode Roe v. Wade?
Yeah, how much can he's basically literally saying, how much can I get away with?
There's upsides and downsides to this story.
Oh, to the story. Okay,
so upside.
Well, it got repealed.
It got repealed. Yeah, the Supreme Court basically said no. Yeah, this is out of line. No, and this law would have, like, 6 weeks. It would have stopped abortion at 6 weeks. There's plenty of women who don't know they're pregnant at 6 weeks.
Yeah,
I mean that's.
I've had gas for 6 weeks.
Yeah,
This is nothing.
And so the Supreme Court did shut it down, which is great, but. There's a detail in here.
Did you just say shut it down on purpose? Did you just do that?
No, I did not do it on purpose, but now I'm going to claim it.
Okay, good.
Because, you know, the Supreme Court has ways of shutting that down.
Oh, creepy. All right, continue.
Anyway.
If it's a legitimate exploration into the boundaries of Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court has ways of shutting that whole thing down.
Goodbye, everybody.
But okay, so let's get into the problems that this story really shines a light on. The only reason this law was stopped was because there was a challenge to it. And the challenge was brought by the one clinic in North Dakota.
Yeah.
And that clinic is in Fargo. Now, what do you guys know about the geography of North Dakota?
I've driven through it.
Do you know anything?
I've heard it's large.
It's fairly large. Fargo is on the far eastern border of North Dakota. Basically, it's in Minnesota. Like,
yeah.
It's right there. Now,
actually, everybody I know who lives in Fargo actually lives in Minnesota.
So if you're on the western side of North Dakota, that's a long way to go to the one clinic.
Yeah.
The only clinic. So we started looking into this, and I found this fascinating thing. Okay, so abortion providers in the entire area are very sparse. There's a clinic in Fargo, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Missoula, and Kalispell, Montana. Those are the four closest clinics.
Yeah. And I've done that drive.
Yeah.
It's not short.
Yeah. If you've never driven through the Midwest, there is a whole lot of space out there with not a whole lot in it.
Yeah.
And it takes a long time to get through. So Fargo and Sioux Falls are on the eastern side of their state. Missoula and Kalispell, they're on the western side of Montana. And then in Wyoming, there's no providers. There's not a single provider in the state of Wyoming.
So I wonder that not every, you know, the narrative that conservatives and especially religious conservatives like to play is that abortions are always elective.
Right.
They're not always elective. Sometimes they're for very medical reasons.
Mm-hmm.
In those situations, do people who might die if they don't get an abortion, do they really have to go 10 hours and 28 minutes out of their way?
I don't know.
What happens if they die on the way?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if hospitals...
I know this is one of those questions that, politicians hate because it's got nuance in it. It's like they're kryptonite. But
yeah.
These are actual lives we're talking about here, and not like pretend parasite lives, like actual human beings with names and social security numbers.
And if you think maybe there's hospitals that could perform these, but what if those hospitals are Catholic hospitals? We've run into this problem before.
And I wondered about that last week, is that when we talk about the inaccessibility of reproductive health, we're talking about this in the States where the Catholic Church has basically taken over the hospitals
and won't
perform an abortion under any circumstances.
Under any circumstances.
Including life of the mother.
Yes. So where does that leave? Okay, so here's a fun little, fun, quote unquote. I found a town. This is called Alzada, Montana. It is on the far eastern and southeastern corner of Montana. So it's right around where Wyoming, South Dakota, and Montana meet, right? So the four closest, I covered these four closest abortion clinics in Sioux Falls, Fargo, Missoula, and Kalispell. Mm. So I punched into Google Maps to find out if you had to go get an abortion and you were from Alzada, Montana, you could go to Sioux Falls, which is a 6 hour and 25 minute drive. You could go to Fargo, which is 7 hours and 37 minutes. Missoula, 8 hours, 54 minutes. Or Kalispell, 10 hours and 28 minutes. Now, if you're driving that kind of distance to get a procedure done, you're not driving home that same day.
Mm.
So you need to get lodging. So you need a car that can travel that kind of distance. You need to pay for the travel. You need to pay for lodging. You probably have to pay for the procedure. Like, this is effectively making or putting a price barrier on getting an abortion.
So I guess this brings me to the question I have at hand, which is a very difficult. Because I've been seeing this story for the last few days, and I've been wondering. And my instant solution is like, how do we solve this problem? Because it's not like we can go on an abortion clinic raising tour.
Yeah.
There's a lot of red tape there, specifically to prevent this from happening. But I'll be darned if we don't know a lot of people, say, in this room or perhaps in this city who like doing long distance driving.
It's true.
You drive for a living.
That's what I do for a living, yeah.
I used to drive for a living, briefly, when I was a process server.
I'll take any excuse for a road trip.
Yeah. We got Nick. I mean, we got a lot of people. It's like, how do we undercut this argument? How do we undercut, what is the safest route, would be my question, for creating a transportation service to solve these problems as much as we can with our limited, you know, with what we've got.
Hmm.
Well, that's really tough because, like, I feel like there's organizations out there who would be willing to help fund something like there's, you know, Dan, you work for blood donation group. They have buses.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, an abortion bus? Like,
boy.
I don't know that I would want to get an invasive procedure, no matter how limited in its invasiveness, done on a thing with shocks.
That's true. But
generally, the vehicles are still when a person is...
You hope. But it's not like some church people are going to go, hey, get out of there! Oh, my God!
That's true. They could all zombie up and just start pushing on the bus.
Yeah.
Well, I feel you don't paint abortion bus on the side of it. I feel like there's some subtlety involved here.
That's how we got. That's like how we got our cats neutered. And yeah, it's not like they had plastic cat testicles hanging off. I'll give you that.
But what about some sort of, like, how would the laws even apply? Because state by state, the laws differ. So how do you create a vehicle that could go take a tour of areas that are very isolated and don't have a women's health clinic?
But a lot of these states have laws that prevent the professional to coming to the patient, prevent the professional from going to the patient. So
right.
What I'm wondering is what is the safest way and the most, I guess you would, I would say, psychologically sound way to bring the patient to the professional, where the game is rigged in such a way that they are basically being told to think that professionals are unavailable. And that's not a question I'm asking you guys to answer.
I got nothing. I had abortion bus. That was my big answer.
I like abortion bus. Don't get me wrong. Buses are great. I feel like this. The reason I'm suggesting this, I feel like this is something we, like us, could actually
we
do.
We could actually do this.
Assuming I pass a background check. Okay, you know, I'm not even going to pretend, because I had to pass a background check to work with Camp Quest Northwest. So I saw an opportunity for a joke there, and I'm like, I'm just going to let that one go. Yeah. So that's maybe a conversation we need to have. Maybe we need to have somebody from Planned Parenthood in, or some other national organization who could tell me why this is a terrible idea. Because I suspect there might be, I know there are unseen consequences that I'm not seeing, because this is just, what if we do this? So obviously it's too simple, but
right.
And it's like, how regular of a thing would you have to make it? Like,
right.
Let's say you were going to do a tour where you just, subtly let people know, if you need access to this, we will pick you up. We will take you somewhere. We will drive you back. We will take care of costs. Like, all you need to do is come with us. We will get you to someone who can help.
I was thinking of something more along the lines of like a barking chain. Where somebody needs a lift, no questions asked, no conversation required. You are transported there and back.
You show up, you drive them there and to and from.
Right. Okay. And where the whole interaction is defined by the person who needs the ride, not by some charity or by the person doing the driving. That would be the way I would do it.
I could see that working, but I think the
risks are high.
Yeah, the risk that I foresee is the driver being shanghaied, basically, that somebody who might be the kind of person who goes and bombs an abortion clinic finds out about this hotline or this word of mouth chain and sets a trap, because it's a lot easier to make somebody disappear in the middle of nowhere than it is to get away with bombing something.
This is where it just gets away from me, because now I'm pretending this is the set of Mad Max.
That was similar to what I had envisioned. Yeah.
Witness.
Wait, driver?
No, witness.
We'll get you to the clinic, shiny and chrome.
There you go.
Spray the huffing paint on your mouth. I just wonder, what did they use, to make it look like they were spray painting their mouth? Because clearly they can't have their actors.
There is a metallic-looking substance that is food safe.
Is there?
Yeah, because that's how you get the really terrible wedding cake decorations.
I love those. The little sugary ball bearings.
Oh, God.
Oh, they're terrible.
Oh, they're wonderful.
Oh, my God.
In Canada, you can get big ones, like the size of a marble, and they're cola flavored.
Teeth on that.
Yeah, geez. Isn't that called a gobstopper?
No, they're
buckshot.
Silver. They're shiny and chrome.
I imagine that would hurt.
Actually, I have bitten into buckshot before.
How'd it go?
Why? In a deer?
No,
you were
it
eating?
Was duck, actually.
Oh, okay.
Well, it wasn't buckshot. It was birdshot, to be fair. But, yeah, it was definitely my parents' friend, who's a hunter, and puts a fantastic duck plate together with duck he actually hunts, and I took a bite and hit something really hard, and I'm like, well, it's good to know it's fresh.
Yeah, that's a lot more sensible than I was thinking. Is that one day you're really hungry and I'm like, I wonder how ammunition tastes. Okay, fine.
It's like there's a party in my mouth and the NRA is invited.
A grand jury in Houston has indicted two members of the Center for Medical Progress, a group responsible for the deceptively edited videos of Planned Parenthood. The indictments come after a two-month investigation into the practices of Planned Parenthood after the release of the videos. The grand jury cleared Planned Parenthood of all wrongdoing. The grand jury cleared Planned Parenthood of all wrongdoing, but decided that David R. DeLayden and Sandra S. Merritt should go to trial for breaking laws against tampering with government documents and purchasing human organs. The Center for Medical Progress is also currently being sued by in California by Planned Parenthood for the videos. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, this makes me happy.
I love it when a good plan backfires. We're going to put them out of business. Nope, you're going to jail.
All right. I got to stop before this gets totally away from me again. I thought their whole argument was selling human organs is bad.
But they went out and tried to buy human organs.
To do so.
I've not seen this video.
They tried to buy human organs from Planned Parenthood.
Is this like on TV when a bad narc agent comes up and says, hey, do you have any of the marijuanas?
Pretty much, yeah.
I would like 4 of jazz cigarettes, please, and a side of heroines. Well, I mean, is that basically what they were doing?
Pretty much, yeah.
And you know, the whole thing was a big misunderstanding. They thought they were at Chili's. They sang the song.
You're going to have to explain that one.
Yeah. I want my baby back, baby
oh.
back, baby back.
Oh. Boo.
You know what's funny about that?
Nothing.
Oh. This is Ask an Atheist. 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. What the hell? All right. It's still Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC.
It is funny.
So we're going to let that horrible joke hang in the air, and when we come back, we're going to, when the air clears, let's say, we're going to continue our... No, actually, when we come back, we're actually going to let Dan talk more, because we're nuts.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn. And we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio Versus the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
At Puget Sound Celebrant Service, we want to be your secular wedding officiant. We are committed to serving the Puget Sound region and work to ensure your special day is all about you. Robert, a certified humanist celebrant with the Humanist Society, specializes in secular weddings and customizes ceremonies to fit your needs. To commemorate your special day, each couple married by Robert will receive a one-year membership to the American Humanist Association. Find out more at PugetSoundCelebrant.com.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Getting a little bit, like I said, forgetting what show I'm on here in Ask an Atheist Studios. But, you know, when we were in the break, there's something really important here that I skimmed over because I'm kind of dumb about law. Regarding grand juries that you wanted to highlight.
Yeah, and I want to give credit to J.T. Eberhard for pointing this one out because right he's really good at this sort of stuff.
Oh, crap! Sorry, I just remembered something about J.T.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the thing you have to understand about grand juries are not trials. Grand juries, when they bring it, they have an investigation, they bring it to in front of a grand jury, and grand jury decides if there's enough evidence to justify a trial. Now, there's no judge, there's no defense, and there's no limit to the evidence they can show. There's no procedural thing. The prosecution just shows everything they got, and the grand jury decides. And as there was a lawyer famously once said, a grand jury will indict a ham sandwich. Like, 96% of people who go in front of a grand jury get indicted, meaning they go to trial. It's right. Very rare that they just decide,
right.
Eh, there's not enough there. So in this case, Planned Parenthood was in that 6% that they decide, no, there's no reason to bother to go to trial with Planned Parenthood. They haven't done anything wrong. There's no evidence of wrongdoing.
I just imagine these guys wearing, like, overcoats and no pants. Walking up. Do you want to buy some people part? It's like, What? And, you know, I joke about this, but this is a story that has a death toll attached to it. I can't forget that.
It does. And you have Houston politicians basically saying, I don't care what the investigation has found. I know the Planned Parenthood has done evil stuff, and we're going to stop them.
Well, if I may quote Bill Hicks, you're a moron. however, there are some people I would like to talk about who aren't morons. You like my segue?
That's what we call
professionalism.
That was smooth.
Yeah. I'd like to thank David, Nick, Erica, Paul, Owen, Clint, Paul, and Eric from places on Earth, I think.
That's a lot of people.
I hope. For meeting Peggy's Challenge. Peggy's Challenge is a challenge of Peggy from Kent to the listeners of Ask an Atheist to help us fund the show. Every dollar you give us goes directly towards show production. You can meet Peggy's Challenge by going to askanatheist.tv and click on the yellow button on the right-hand side. Take it straight to our PayPal page. Fairly straightforward. Not kidding about that production thing. And we've got an email. We've got a very interesting email, which leads into Dan, who is here.
I am.
For science. And that email is Matthew from the UK, who writes, I can accept the complexity of our world from being a gradual evolution, but I find near-death experiences more difficult to discount as just hallucinations, as they sound so organized. Maybe we have evolved to have near-death experiences that are suggestive of religion, as maybe religion is something humans evolved to have for the sake of cooperation and coping. Or maybe just to keep injured tribals left behind contentedly dying, so not to slow down the group. Wow, that's cold. I suppose brain death can be organized. Can be an organized thing leading to consistent experiences. I can't think of a way someone could get to a hypothetical afterlife, and the only vague way I could think of it is if we're duplicated in parallel universes.
Wow.
That's kind of a cool email. Thanks, yeah, Matthew. And this is way out of my wheelhouse. So, Dan.
Those are some really cool thoughts, Matthew. I especially like the parallel universe idea.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think Donald would be the guy to address parallel universes, but I have done some research on near-death experiences. He what?
He laughed at me.
He laughed at you?
Well, when I talked about that.
Oh.
I was three sheets in.
I have done some research on near-death experiences, and today's For Science is all about them. So come towards the light, listener. Come towards the light. Near-death experiences, or NDEs, are among the strangest and most difficult phenomena to study. At the brink of death, a person may have vivid and complex visions or physical sensations of an otherworldly nature. While much about them remains mysterious, there are features of NDEs that appear to be common, practically universal, regardless of a person's faith, demographic, or culture. The most common features are, 1. A feeling of peace and acceptance. A person experiencing an NDE may feel aware that they have died, but feel no sorrow, fear, or regret about the matter. 2. The feeling of being separated from one's body. One may feel as though their consciousness has left the body, often feeling an upward pull and looking down on their corpse as they ascend. 3. Entering darkness, followed by seeing a bright light at the end of a tunnel, and finally, entering the light. This entering of the light is often associated with feelings of pleasure and contentment before awakening from the near-death experience, though only about 10% of those experiencing an NDE actually enter the light. But these visions aren't always white light and joy. Between 1 and 20% of near-death experiences involve visions of pain, suffering, violence, or oppositional forces. Interestingly, there's no correlation between positive or negative NDEs and the religious beliefs or the mode of near-death of the person's experiencing them. Those who believe in a pleasant afterlife don't always have NDEs, good or bad. Those who believe in no afterlife may have NDEs of either sort, and whether your death was expected, accidental, a murder, or a suicide seems to have no bearing on whether you'll experience any kind of NDE, if any at all. Of course, it's possible that near-death experiences are a sort of hallucination or even made-up nonsense designed to sell books, but they differ from phenomena like ghosts, UFOs, and Sasquatches in one very important aspect. While recording devices are seldom present to support claims of aliens, monsters, or specters, a person having an NDE is often in a hospital and surrounded by a whole battery of state-of-the-art equipment specifically designed for measuring every aspect of a person's life signs and physical activity. Now, there are numerous possible explanations for the typical near-death experience, from lack of oxygen to overstimulation, but unfortunately, it isn't easy to gather enough data for a scientific consensus on this matter. Dozens of studies over the decades since interest in NDEs hit the mainstream have yielded very few well-recorded incidents of near-death experiences, and no conclusive evidence for either materialistic or spiritual causes. However, a 2013 study at the University of Michigan found that anesthetized rats on the brink of death experienced a sudden surge in brain activity just before flatlining. This activity was not only similar to, but in fact characteristic, of the rats' brains during living awareness of their surroundings. If this data can be extrapolated to humans, that sudden surge, a mental spasm, may well explain the vivid experiences some NDEers report. It is also plausible that lack of oxygen to the temporoparietal junction may result in the feeling of being disembodied, as this region of the brain is responsible for constructing an awareness of location and position through combined senses. But sadly, there are just too few cases to put any real weight behind any of these ideas. So, what is a near-death experience, and why do they occur? The short answer is, we don't know. But as our monitoring technology advances and our medical science is ever more able to bring people back from what would have previously been lethal illnesses or injuries, we may just find out.
Cool. If you have any science questions, you can go to askanatheist.tv. And after you've clicked the yellow button on the right-hand side, click the red button on the left-hand side, and it'll give you the opportunity to ask a question. And we like these questions. Please bring them on. Especially stuff like this. I got a lot to say on this a little bit. I mean, I got a lot I could talk about. I have sure. Oddly consistent hallucinations. For example, I think it's fairly well known at this point that I have a bit of a sleeping problem.
I think that's a fact, yeah.
Just a bit.
Yeah, so I tried Ambien. Also, no.
Is this the one where people have reported like going through an entire day of stuff and behaving normally and then suddenly waking up with no recall?
So apparently, I have no memory of this. You'd have to ask Becky for the details. But I apparently entered a REM state without actually falling asleep.
Wow.
And I thought that I was living with Becky and my roommate, who was my ex-girlfriend. Complex. But... in a trailer in Odessa, Texas, and the compressor on our refrigerator had broken, and that I needed to fix it.
And what was going on in the real world?
The cat box was being cleaned. Granted, it was near the kitchen, but I've never been to Odessa, Texas, and I don't live in a trailer.
Wow.
Or I didn't at the time. I don't know where that came from.
Neat.
However, apparently during this situation, I got a call from a professional colleague from mine, and he asked me for technical advice, and I gave it to him.
Did it work?
Apparently so. He got the contract.
Neat.
Yeah, so I can literally do system administration in my sleep, because I have done.
Or in your unsleep.
Yeah, and I've had the tunnel of light dream, mm-hmm. like entering a tunnel of light. Well, granted, I was being used as reaction mass by Scientologist furries.
I'm just going to let that sink in for a minute.
I don't have a problem with... Okay, you know what? I got a problem with Scientologists. Don't have a problem with furries. I don't know why the Scientologists were furries. They just were. That was my dream. Yeah.
I thought you were going for the... I thought this was what was happening in the real world. And then I was like, all right, now what's the hallucination?
No, that is the hallucination. Yeah. They needed to go to Mars, and the only reaction mass available was apparently me and my friends. Huh. That was my dream. I live a kind of my inner life is kind of screwed up. I'll just.
Yeah. Okay. That's becoming apparent.
So what I'm saying is that if there's this kind of logical consistency in my brain broken hallucinations and dreams. It's not surprising to me that NDEs can have such a consistent narrative.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when... How many of us are unfamiliar with the story of Step Into the Light? I mean, didn't we make a joke about it earlier?
Oh,
earlier in the episode.
And this is something that's addressed in the study of NDEs, is that there are these particular sequences and these sort of universal aspects, but sequences, especially having to do with brain activity, occur over and over and over in just about every aspect of neuroscience, from simple things like the way each neuron fires. They fire, in pretty universally understandable ways, unless you get into tenophores, but that's a whole other subject.
Absolutely.
But also something as complex and as personal as grief.
Right.
Well, we go through these stages. People go through the same sort of process in the same order. And what it's really showing there isn't that everybody is the same and that we're all robots. It's that we're all running the same hardware. Mm. And this is how the hardware responds. If you built the same computer in the same way or a similar computer in the same way and ran the same programs, you're probably going to get the same output.
Sort of, but the data is not always the same.
Right. The data is not always going to be consistent.
Yeah. And I will say on the parallel universe thing, one of my favorite but actually very depressing science fiction authors, Stephen Baxter, wrote a book with Arthur C. Clarke called Light of Other Days.
Mm.
And this is spoilers. They posit an afterlife because they learn how to basically, they create something called a worm cam, which is a camera that's able to go anywhere in the past.
Huh.
So plot one, privacy is annihilated.
Right.
Because now you can see and do everything.
Anything that happened in the past.
Yeah. But two, they're able to record the entire life experiences from the perspective and even neurological brain patterns of people, of anyone who has ever lived. So at the end of the book, they bring everyone back. Everyone. Huh. It's an entirely technological afterlife. And I found the concept very interesting. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Maybe I'll be less creepy when we come back.
48 hours. 24 hours. 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain is, it's coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is struggling to hold them back. A wave of people are rushing toward the candidate. My God.
Zero. For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee. ANNEXRadio.com. Now on iTunes and Stitcher.
Ask an Atheist.
48.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to AskAnAtheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to PayPal@AskAnAtheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And what are we talking about this hour? Well, not anything, it seems like. I don't know about you guys, but...
Hey-o.
There's a story that I really... that everybody kind of wants to talk about. An Italian museum decided to cover up paintings and statues with nude figures for a recent visit by Iranian President Hassan Rouhani. The Capitoline Museum in Rome recently hosted a tour for Rouhani and Italian Prime Minister Matteo Renzi, I hope, and used plywood boxes and panels to cover up works that featured nudity. A dinner held for Rouhani later that night didn't serve alcohol in respect of Muslim customs. Rouhani is spending a week in Europe to sign agreements with Western companies and governments worth an estimated $18
billion. $18 billion. Sorry.
I don't know how you guys... This is one of those stories where I have to admit, it seemed like the atheist contingent of social media was like, oh my God, it's so horrible. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, so are we all in agreement on this?
Yeah, pretty much. Although I think it's funny. It's a humor thing. It is hilarious. Although, the story mentions that there was a dinner where they didn't serve alcohol. According to the piece I read, he recently came from France where they're like, screw that, we're drinking. We're France.
Yeah.
You can not drink if you want, but we're having wine.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, see, I wouldn't cover up artwork. I don't know. I wouldn't serve alcohol. Cause, you know, I'm not.
I'd be like, maybe not go to a museum. You're bound to find naked bodies in there. So maybe just not go to the museum.
Did he choose the museum or did they choose?
I think they chose the museum, and he never asked to be like protected from this. I think they just did that for him.
Oh, that's weird.
That was nice of them, I guess. I mean, were there other people in the museum at the time? I mean, if there had been people that had come from hundreds or thousands of miles away to come and see this museum and they get there and everything's covered up, like, that's one thing. Yeah. But if this was a private tour of the museum, well, whatever. So what? Yeah. You know, he doesn't want to see it. Okay. You're trying to get 18 billion out of the guy. So, all right, let's just accommodate him.
That's kind of his answer. So let's sort of extend that. Would you do this? Were you in the Italian position?
I would ask. I would not.
Is that a phrasing?
For our radio listeners who can't see in the studio, Dan just gave a look like, how could you throw me such a softball? How could you do that?
Anyway.
But no, it's like, I would probably ask him.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't just assume that he's not a grown-up who can't handle artwork.
Right.
Like, I think the whole purpose...
We might be assuming too much, because they do get kind of weird about the whole Grayman image thing.
Mm. Yeah, they do. But I feel like the whole purpose of...
I'm thinking of exploded Buddhist statues.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and, you know...
Wrong country, but
right.
Same thought.
I feel like we are trying to bring Iran into the global community.
Right.
And part of that is treating them like adults.
Mm.
And so...
Yeah, as much as they'll let us.
Let's... You be you where you are, but when you come visit us, you are going to learn what we're like. And so that includes this fantastic artwork that we have. Renaissance painting is my favorite.
No kidding.
I absolutely love Renaissance painting. I hate modern art. It's stupid. You're all stupid. Sorry. But...
Hey, you know, Hitler.
Yes.
No. I have to go laser cut you a plaque.
But yeah, it's like part of joining the global community is accepting that other people have different values than you, and that's okay. And so when you go visit them, you get to learn their culture.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to whitewash it for you.
That works. A Washington State Senate committee advanced a bill that would eliminate the right of transgender people to use bathrooms and locker rooms consistent with their gender identity. The state's Human Rights Commission recently clarified that forcing trans individuals to use the incorrect bathroom violates the state's existing anti-discrimination laws. While three Democrats voted against the bill, Republican Senator Michael Baumgartner contended that the bill should not be interpreted as some kind of judgment or castigation of the transgender community, and argued that people allowing unquestioned access to facilities could be used as a way for them to carry out sexual assaults. Analysts say that this bill is unlikely to make it to a general vote because
it's stupid.
Sometimes it works out. This is not supposed to be seen as a castigation of the transgender community. No, but this argument is basically you're all right. I just don't want to crap in the same place you do. What does he think people do? Oh, wait, he's Republican. I remember now. Wait, another political joke. But, okay, let's look at political history.
No, yeah. The list in history of Republican politicians attacking people in bathrooms is much longer than the non-existent list of transgendered people attacking people in bathrooms.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, but, so if your bill is I ban myself from bathrooms, public bathrooms, I'll let you take that one out of committee.
That would make more sense.
Yeah, I'm good with that. What are these? The problem. This drives me absolutely up the wall. I use public bathrooms. I don't know if you know this, guys, but I do use public bathrooms. What do they think we do in public bathrooms? Like, I go in there, I talk to no one, I say nothing, I don't look. The guy in the stall next to me might be a sea cucumber from Venus for everything I know.
He just stands in the corner and pees all over the paper towel dispenser like a normal person.
Like any other human being. Yeah. Like, I don't... What? Like, do we need to pass a law that we all have to go into the bathroom and stare each other in the eye while we defecate? And then exchange phone numbers? What does he think we do?
There's a list of acceptable pickup lines that you must use.
What? I do not understand this. And it's all in the service of just being demeaning for, as far as I can tell, just being demeaning because you just lost the last one.
Yeah.
So now you gotta win this one? Have you not figured out that history is not on your side here?
It is almost, it feels like, huh, well, we can't be bigoted against gays. Who's next on the list?
Right.
So much like those paper towels in the bathroom, you pull somebody out of the bigotry Target dispenser, and another one falls in the bucket.
Wave your hand in front of it.
Yeah.
Okay, it's transgenders now.
I do not understand this.
We've lost the battle with transgenders. Yeah. Oh, I guess it's Inuits. We're doing Inuits now. Okay.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to tell you a really personal story. I was seeing a live music show in Olympia years ago now, like maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I was actually seeing Nick Kennedy's last show with Body Box.
Nice.
It was kind of lame because it was their best show ever because they debuted a new song at their last show. What the hell, guys? I'm in the bathroom, and it's a tiny bar bathroom, so you are looking each other in the eye because
whether you like it or not,
yeah. And a guy compliments me on my power stance. I the next day I'm in the shower, trying to wash it off. Be like,
yeah.
Who does that?
That.
And what the hell is a power stance?
What did he say exactly?
Great power stance, brah.
Huh.
See, I would have had to expand on that. It's like, man, you pee like Pete Townsend.
What, like with the windmill? I imagine that would get all over the place. That's usually not my aim.
Just standing akimbo like Captain America in front of the urinal. Like, Avengers, assemble!
What are you doing? I'm just trying to get out of here as quickly as possible without touching anything. It's a bar bathroom, people.
Yeah, the thing that I've definitely noticed when it comes to all of these bills and all these conversations and Mike Huckabee and Bobby Jindal and everything about how transgendered people are going to, all this... The people who are most obsessed with what's going on in the bathroom are the people who want to quote unquote stop everything from happening in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, transgender people, let you in on a secret. I'm sure this is going to be a shock. I'm glad you guys are sitting down.
All right. Yeah. Here it comes.
They have to pee.
Oh, no.
What?
That's what they're doing in the bathroom. They have to pee.
Yeah.
It's all they're worried about.
Yeah.
It's like that old sign.
Everyone else? They just pee?
I know. It's like they're people.
Huh.
Shocking. It's like those old protest signs you see at gay rallies where it says, like, gay agenda, get milk, get equality, rent. Like,
worship Satan. No, that's a different story. It's weird because the politics of religious people is not being able to put In God We Trust on a police cruiser or in the county courthouse of the true American patriots is where when I fight that, when I say, hey, this is a really dumb idea, it's, hey, why don't you leave us alone? But when other human beings would like to eliminate in peace.
That's a threat to your liberty.
Yeah, suddenly the red commies are coming over the berm at any moment. What? This is what I'm fighting, and I don't understand it.
Yeah.
It's like, why do you care? Why? I do not get it. What do you think happens in bathrooms?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, are you that guy who craps on the floor and leaves it there? Are you worried you might touch transgendered poop or something? Not everybody has your bathroom etiquette, man.
It's probably still human poop.
Yeah, probably still human poop. Like, 8 people are going to get that. Yeah, it's Yeah, we need to pass a bill keeping this guy out of public bathrooms.
I like it. I can go for that.
Yeah, I don't know. I got a feeling my position. That was unintentional.
Italian position.
my position on this one might get me in a little bit of trouble, but this is an argument that just escaped the logic of it. Just escapes me. Why are you know, even locker rooms. I've been in enough locker rooms. I don't look at people. I'm not creepy. I'm going to get a shower and get the hell out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do not understand the thinking of this. Do you go into locker rooms and stare at people? Then you need to be arrested. Yeah. You shouldn't pass laws. You should be in jail.
And to be clear, sexually assaulting someone in a bathroom is already illegal. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you don't need to make other laws about that. That one's kind of taken care of.
It's one of the arguments I don't get. Like, last week, I think you were talking about the Strategic Virginity Reserve.
Right.
I think. Yeah, it's like, this is another, like, I'm not somebody who came from religion. I wasn't, I danced with religion. You know, we went to prom. I tripped over myself. It vomited in the punch bowl. We decided it was a bad date, and we were wearing with our lives.
But you were wearing a fantastic powder blue tuxedo.
Well, that's all I had at Goodwill.
The plaid tie really made
plaid,
it.
Oh, yeah. Green plaid. Where the hell do you find that?
Cherry red cowboy boots and a purple velvet top hat.
Yeah, it's like I did have my little dance with religion, and I did try my hand at being a psychic, but there are certain aspects to religious thinking that just escape me, specifically in the direction of personal liberties, where they feel like they have the right to describe their persecution of people as a personal liberty, while being able to go to the bathroom in the place where you are most comfortable and the place where you kind of belong if you're going to segregate bathrooms.
Right.
Is somehow a violation of all that is good and wholesome in America. I don't understand. I do not understand.
I think the best way I could try and sum up the thinking is, if I don't like it, it's not American.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm in favor of totally of genderless bathrooms.
Now, say it again in Cherokee.
There you go. Well played.
Bang.
I don't care if that bathrooms are sex segregated. Like, you could get rid of that and it would change nothing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't get in, do business, get out. It's like, you know, it's like I'm SEAL Team 6 or something. I don't want to
goes
talk
in with
to
the team
anybody.
Looks both ways.
Yeah, I don't
clear.
I don't do like Craigslist transactions in the bathroom. I don't I hate it when people I think having phone conversations in the bathroom should be punishable in The Hague. I mean, it's let's desegregate bathrooms and just say no phone talking in the bathroom. Can we just not? Can I eliminate in peace, or you got to make this a thing?
Just a no talking zone. Period. Only talking in bathrooms and emergencies.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of the de facto for men's bathrooms.
Lock.
You know, unless
that,
somebody's really drunk.
Is that a gendered thing? I mean, I've cleaned my fair share of women's bathrooms. I've never had the pleasure of hanging out in one. if I may say that in the most creepy way.
And you did. Well done.
Well, you know, I got to have something for people to yell at. I realize, given the local plumbing, that this is maybe the wrong room to ask. But do women talk in bathrooms? Is that actually a thing?
I think I am
Becky.
I am.
That might
be
the weirdest questions I've ever asked.
I will admit I am unqualified to answer this question, but that will not stop me from trying.
You know, I just wanted to hear Becky yell back from the bathroom downstairs, "I'm on the phone!" All right, answered.
Well,
she might.
I feel like the girls' group trip to the bathroom is a tradition, but I don't think...
I've never actually seen that.
Oh, I've
really? Never witnessed it.
I've seen that, definitely. Here's the thing about the girls' group trip to the bathroom is I don't believe that it's actually for going to the bathroom. It's for going to a place that the men can't follow so that they can talk in private.
Right.
So they stand at the mirror and talk.
And I always
don't yank down their dress and start peeing and talk. That is my guess.
But this is purely speculation.
This is absolute speculation.
Yeah, this is not a thing. Like, maybe I hang out in the wrong places, but well, of course I do. But
if you have commentary, if you're a woman listening and have commentary about the women's group trip to the bathroom, please send it to...
No, don't
send that.
Don't send me your weird bathroom email. I'll...
You should see his face.
Again, I have to tell you, humor for me is a coping mechanism. I'm not making light of your situation. I'm making light of the people who are making this a situation.
Yes, yes.
Why are we even talking about this? This is Ask an Atheist with me, Sam Mulvey. With me was Dan and Dave. I'd like to thank Becky, who's likely going to murder me. I'd like to thank everybody else. You can go to our website, askanatheist.tv. You can email us at questions at askanatheist.tv. You can Twitter us at askanatheistwa. Our voicemail is 844-753-7842. I might be back.